Welcome to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. I'm Drew Boxler, editor of Physicians Practice. Every 2 weeks, we explore key areas of a successful, thriving, independent practice. We'll hear from experts in the industry regarding best practices for billing and collections, answer your top coding questions, analyze current legal trends, malpractice landmines to avoid, and look at the hottest tech innovations to increase productivity and enhance the patient experience. Let's get started. Today, we are presenting our conversation with Steve Avery, President and Chief Client Officer at Abeo, a company specializing in revenue cycle management, where we discuss the practice of surprise billing or balance billing, and how practices can navigate this increasingly complex landscape. Our conversation specifically addressed anesthesiology practices. However, the general takeaways should be applicable to primary care solo and small group practices as well. We began by discussing whether or not there are ways for practices to know ahead of time if a patient coming to their office is covered under a partnering insurance plan.
Well, I guess the first thing is I want to add a little perspective around that question. Just in the country, there are thousands of health insurance plans, and not every health insurance plan has prominence in every community. So the average anesthesiology group working in a community hospital may have about 30 to 40 health insurance plans, specific contracts. So it's not out of the question that a patient could come to the hospital with an insurance policy that's not one of the 30 to 40 plans that are under contract with the anesthesiology group. So for the providers that we work with, they're all very diligent in working to have contracts in place with the insurance companies that are likely to have patients in the area. So the answer to the question is that anesthesiologists may not always know if a patient is coming to the hospital that has an insurance policy that's under their contract. So the situation could be further complicated by an unfortunate occurrence where the patient is coming to the emergency room to be treated and then taken straight to the operating room. Very little may be known about the patient at that time, especially the type of health insurance that they may have. Unfortunate, but it happens like that sometimes. So, you know, we don't always know ahead of time.
If you are able to identify that a patient is not covered under a partnering insurance plan, you may be able to communicate this coverage discrepancy prior to performing services.
Well, if you do know ahead of time, and there are certain times where we may get a tip off from the hospital that a patient's not covered under one of the insurance policies. I mean, the optimal situation is to reach out to the patient well ahead of the date of surgery and let them know that the provider doesn't have a contract with their particular insurance company. This gives the patient the opportunity to work with their surgeon to select another facility where the anesthesiologist does have a contract with their specific health insurance plan. So where you know ahead of time, you can make alterations or change the location of the surgery just to make sure that the patient has the best outcome possible.
Avery did provide three things that practices can do to ensure that a patient is prepared to meet the cost of your services.
You know, first, you know, work with the patient. Second, work with the insurance company. Third, involve the patient where necessary to work with their own health insurance company to resolve any situation. The patient needs to know what to expect, and you know, really communication is very key. They need to know what happens after the surgery and what financial impact this may have on them as a result of the procedure. So what you have to do is tell them that you're going to work with them, try to ease their anxiety about the unknown. And many times, you know, insurance companies will work with the anesthesiologist to negotiate a more favorable reimbursement rate that will reduce the financial impact on the patient. In the case of an emergency where the patient could not select the hospital, much less the anesthesiologist, the insurance company may offer rates and terms for the provider that really kind of mirror the reimbursement that a provider would normally receive if they were under contract with that particular insurance company.
Beyond discussing payments with patients, balance billing has been cited as a negotiating factor for practices.
Yeah, balance billing legislation really does more to complicate things for the anesthesiologist than it really resolves. And in many states where legislation is in place, The insurance company sometimes has a negotiation advantage over the anesthesiologist. The anesthesiologist does not have a contract. They are reimbursed usually at a very low reimbursement rate, not typical for that particular geography, or not typical with average reimbursement rates for that geography. And then to complicate things, they can't bill the patient for any unreimbursed portion of the procedure. If they do have a contract, then, you know, complications occur when they try to go back and renegotiate any terms or any increase in reimbursement. It becomes less likely, since the alternative is to not have a contract and then really become at a financial disadvantage in the marketplace. So the question should be, does the legislation benefit the patient or the insurance company? Maybe both, but in many cases, it does not benefit the physician. They're now at a disadvantage in certain circumstances.
So surprise billing generally complicates aspects of the treatment process for both the patient and physician or practice. Should this then be something that practices are actively attempting to suppress, or will it remain something that just occurs at the end of the treatment cycle? Here's what Steve had to say.
You know, I think they should, and practices should work to have contracts in place with all the insurance companies that are under contract with the hospital, mirror what they do. And many times for groups, this is a contractual requirement. In order for the anesthesiologist to have a contract to provide services at the hospital, they have to agree to have contracts with all of the insurance companies that are contracted by the hospital. I think it's also a matter of ethics. I mean, any provider should want the patient to have a positive experience when they're being taken care of. I mean, in short, they should want to help the patient medically and financially by helping them to navigate through what could be a very difficult situation.
This may all come down to a question of reasonable costs. How then should practices be determining this reasonable cost?
Well, anesthesiologists or any other practice for that matter are financial entities, and they need to provide market wages for the doctors and the supporting personnel that work for the practice. I mean, the market really determines the wages in the area. They also determine the reimbursement for that provider in that particular market. So sometimes, you know, when there's a political solution that tries to solve a specific problem, the market sometimes gets removed from the equation, just like in the surprise billing legislation. In this case, the provider becomes the one to suffer financially. If you let the market work, the anesthesiologist, the insurance company will in large part reach an agreement on what is reasonable reimbursement for the services they provide.
Thank you again for taking the time to speak with me, Steve. And thank you all for listening to Perspectives, brought to you by Physicians Practice. We hope you subscribe or listen to podcasts, rate us, and let us know what topics you would like to hear more about. For more practice management insights from the top experts in the field, be sure to visit us at physicianspractice.com and sign up for our newsletter. We'll see you again in 2 weeks.